Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080.
And it was in my mouth. The hottest spot. So tasty.
Poppy had big ones.
And I have a very small one.
Daddy's always happy.
Daddy is out doing what daddy does. This is hard. It's all just hard. I should get paid for this.
Whoa.
And he blows it, and he blows it, and he blows it.
The greatness that is Isaac Robb, ladies and gentlemen.
Is he back in this country yet?
There's a little bit of you.
Yeah, there was me in there. I don't know. No, he posted a picture today from Italy, so he's still over there.
Okay. Do we know when he returns?
Supposed to be back on Monday, at least to do the show, so I'm assuming sometime this weekend he arrives?
I didn't know if he was back and taking another couple days.
I saw that he was posting a photo of the beautiful scenery in Italy. Basically, he was photographing girls' asses.
No, he was photographing the water.
He did say, please look at the beautiful blue water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so happened it was kind of over there in the background. Still no more.
They probably stepped right in front of the picture as he was taking it. Yeah,
still no
jerks.
More beefcake photos, though, that we're all waiting for. In the club, we've got wasp news. I've got sushi news. I've got middle children disappearing. All kinds of stuff to get to, but we're in the midst of John's hatred power rankings.
One thing is for sure on the Better You Today text line.
55305.
Cubs fans hate Cardinals, and the Cardinals hate the Cubs, and Dodgers and Giants fans don't like each other.
No, they kill each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of that coming in.
Brian, swears that Brian Stowe,
yeah.
The paramedic guy.
Got beat up, almost killed.
Yeah, like he's, I don't know if like vegetable is the right word, but he's...
pretty bad.
He's
yeah.
I mean, he's got severe brain damage.
One thing I'll never get, I just don't understand. Look, I like who I like sports-wise, and you like who you like. And I just don't – I can't fathom in any way getting so
like
mad at you.
Whatever it is you like.
That you're right. That I would beat you up because you
– I don't understand angry fan in the first place.
Yeah.
Like when you go to an NFL stadium and someone dumps a beer on your head.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's a tribal thing.
Yeah. I mean, my – Look, I went to WSU. I'm a Coug. I don't like the Huskies. I make no bones about it. I like to poke fun at it. My best friend is a huge UW fan,
yeah.
And we go at it all the time about it. I'm going to beat the guy up because of it. It's ridiculous.
Unless the Mariners are involved.
Well,
I feel like you may beat someone over the Seattle Mariners.
No, because...
You try to play it off like it's no big deal. You've got issues.
No, because again, like we brought up yesterday, at any given moment, I hate the Mariners too.
That is true.
So you hate the Mariners. Just stick around for a little bit. If I start throwing punches, dodge them for a minute, and I'll come back around to hating the Mariners, and I'll buy you a drink, and we'll be fine. So, all right, last five, National League. These are the teams, again, I don't really hate the National League because I don't follow them as much. They don't really bother the Mariners, although the Mariners do factor into my hate rankings here in a couple of spots.
Of course they do.
Yeah, so my number fifth, the fifth most hated National League team for me, the Colorado Rockies.
Why do you hate the Rockies?
Because I think they screwed Dale Murphy.
What?
Yes.
How did they screw Dale
Murphy? Because I love Dale Murphy.
Yes.
He's one of my favorite all-time players.
The non-Hall of Fame Dale Murphy.
Well, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I know he's borderline. I get that.
No.
But I think he should be a two-time National League MVP. Ended his career in Colorado.
Yeah.
In 1993. Played 26 games for them.
You know, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't think that Dale Murphy played in Colorado.
Played in Colorado, 1993, 26 games for him. Yeah. Now, granted, he was hitting 143.
Yeah, that's not so good.
But they kicked him out two home runs shy of 400.
Really?
398 career home runs. You're telling me that doesn't stick in his craw, that he didn't get to 400?
Well, he was hitting 146.
Well, true, but you're telling me Dale Murphy couldn't stick around and hit two more home runs?
Not at 146.
I think he could have.
Would have taken him another 3 months.
I think he could have.
I enjoy your random, the random reasoning behind your hatred.
Yes, so.
You're a bitter large man.
I don't like the Colorado Rockies because they kicked. Now, he'll tell you that he just retired, but yeah. They kicked him out.
I understand.
I think they kicked him out. We all know that.
All right.
So that's why they're the fifth most hated team
that's
in the National
League. Interesting, because I think most baseball fans are very neutral or even pro Rockies because they have a fun stadium. They've got an interesting team, you know, always hitting a lot of power.
You let Dale Murphy hang around and hit two more home runs and maybe I'd reconsider. However, they didn't, so they're on the list. Number four, Michael, the Philadelphia Phillies.
I hate the Phillies too.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah.
Two reasons. One, because I used to love the Mets so much. Yes. And the Mets fans hate Phillies.
Yeah.
Two, stupid uniforms. Hate the Phillies uniforms.
Why do you?
That's interesting.
Don't like them.
Like the maroon color?
I don't like them. I don't like the font they use. I don't like the P and how they have the P for Phillies. I don't like their uniforms. Never have.
All right.
Don't like them.
I understand.
Take that.
Okay.
Seems a little bit random, but let's go with it.
Well, this whole list is random. That's why they're my fourth most hated team. Number three. The Washington Nationals.
Yes.
Yes.
You should hate the Nationals.
Yes, I should.
Everyone should hate the Washington Nationals.
Plus,
I hate the Washington Nationals.
They're just a bastardized version of the Montreal Expos, who I kind of like.
So you wish if they were in Montreal, you wouldn't mind.
I'm pro Expos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm anti. Plus, Bryce Harper. I just can't root for Bryce Harper.
Don't like the Nationals.
No.
Third most hated team. Number two on that list, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Why the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Let me tell
what
you.
What have the Arizona Diamondbacks ever done to
you? I'll tell you what they did to me. 2001, World Series champions. Not only was that the year that the Mariners won 116 games and didn't make it to the World Series.
Yeah.
The stupid Diamondbacks, who are an expansion team,
yeah,
win the World Series with
Randy Johnson. So that's why.
Yes.
They didn't knock out the Mariners.
No.
They didn't
even
play
them.
No.
I was going to say, they beat the team that knocked the Mariners out, so in some way you should like them for
nope.
That.
No.
They took beloved Randy Johnson, and after being a stupid expansion team, they weren't even around very long but in 2001.
Like their third year.
Yes, and they win the World Series. In the year that the Mariners win 116 games.
And they won it off of Mariano Rivera, too.
Now, it was a great World Series.
That was the Gonzo blue pit.
Yes, it was a great World Series in 2001 and the Yankees and everything, and I get all that. And I love Randy Johnson, but I hate the Diamondbacks for taking Randy. Even though I know he got traded to Houston and then went to Arizona, I get that. Hate the Diamondbacks because of 2001.
As RJ says, extremely sound logic. Yes, yes, indeed.
Yes, it is. And along the lines of similar logic, and we kind of talked about it yesterday, my most hated team in the National League, Florida Marlins.
Simply because they don't really try, yet they still have won two World Series.
Two World Series.
Yes.
1997, 2003.
So if the Mariners do get back to the World Series for the first time,
yes,
will that hate lessen for teams like the Marlins and the Diamondbacks because they finally made it themselves?
If the Mariners win the World Series, then yeah, probably I can see a change in the rankings. But if they just get there and lose, it'll still stick in my craw that the Marlins won twice.
Well, but see, that's the thing, too, is they'll get there and lose. The team they lost to will now be your most hated National League team.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's like the Cubs. All of a sudden, you hate them.
They're going right to the top of the list. That's right. Yeah, so the Marlins just, they frost me.
Yeah.
I
understand.
They've won two.
Yeah.
They didn't just get, they won two.
And then dismantled the team.
Yes, and they're horrible.
Built the people out of $3
billion. They don't care. Although we did get D. Gordon from them, so I'm happy about that. But I still hate the Marlins.
All right, we come back. We've got wasp news. I've got sushi news. Calling the cops. What the hell is going on with calling the cops? And I saw a move yesterday at a concert that I think may be one of the top three or four things I've ever seen at a musical venue.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
This man is a phantom. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but what he did, I'm not going to call him a hero because what's a hero?
Sometimes there's a man.
Club 1080, you're on the Fan. Before I get to middle children disappearing and wasps that will end up killing us all, if the mummy doesn't get us from yesterday's club, the wasp will.
And it will.
Yeah, the mummy's coming for us. I saw something at a concert last night that must be discussed because I do not know who this man is. I cannot pick this man out of a lineup. He is a phantom, but he is a gall darn American hero. I like going to concerts. It's probably my favorite thing to go do.
Yeah, you're a concert guy.
I'm a concert guy. So given the choice between like a big sporting event and going to a concert, I'm probably going to choose the concert unless you're talking like, you know, playoffs or something. But if you said on any given day, I can go see a Blazer game or a Seahawks football game where I can go see a band that I like, I'll usually choose the band. So last night, Social Distortion is playing at the Roseland. And Social Distortion is one of my favorite bands. Been listening to them since I was like in the seventh grade. So big fan. They're actually playing tonight. They're doing two shows. So two sold out shows. And if you've ever been to the Roseland, it's a cool venue, but it's for a sold out show, you're packed in there.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's 1,000 degrees. Yeah. I mean, it was hot as balls yesterday.
We knew it would be yesterday. Yeah. I told you it was going to be smelly.
Yeah, it was hot and it certainly was smelly. And Social Distortion is a kind of a punk band from the 80s, rock punk, and you'll get a decent pit going in there. You'll mix it up a little bit. So I roll in yesterday, and it is absolutely packed. So I kind of weasel my way to about the midpoint where Mike was saying it's a good spot to be because if you want to mix it up a little bit, you can. It's like right on the edge of the pit. And so there's like one guy in between me and where the people are moshing in the middle. And right in front of me is a fairly tall guy, and he decides that he is going to be, I'm going to film the show guy. And not film like 30 seconds of the show.
He's bootlegging.
He's going to hold up his camera, and he is his camera phone there, his iPhone, and he's going to film this thing for probably 8 minutes straight.
And I don't understand that guy because it's not good quality.
Oh no, especially at a place like the Roseland. It's dark, you're facing the lights.
Yeah.
And
not good.
It's gonna be terrible.
It's gonna be not for lack of a pun, it's distorted.
Yeah, so you're just gonna hear like
social distortion, Mike. Yes. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
No, I'm all for if you wanna tape 5 or 10 seconds of a song to put out on Instagram or Twitter or something, that's fine. Great. I've done that. That's super. But if you're taping half an hour of the show, for what? Like, you're going to watch it back later and remember how good it was?
Post it on YouTube.
Exactly. And I get like when someone goes and sees like Billy Joel, some people do like tape Piano Man or something, right? Like the end of it, the crowd singing Piano Man. This was like the second song in. It wasn't like he was playing like their biggest hit or whatever. And he's a fairly tall guy, and everyone behind him was kind of pissed off. And there were people, you could hear murmurs about the stupid phone being up there. And at this point, we're a couple songs in, and people are sweating, and now all the mosh bros are shirtless. So in the middle of the floor, it is just like a collage of just sweaty mosh bros. And they all look the same. They all have the same tattoos. They all look right out of Central Casting. And they're just moshing around doing whatever it is they're doing.
I'm curious. So it's a different kind of mosh pit at the shows I go to.
Yeah.
People who mosh at like death metal shows, for the most part, are jacked. They're just ripped. They're so strong, and they just go in there swinging their arms wildly, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
You certainly have some guys that are put together. I would say this is just more mid-20s, you just kind of average bro, shirt off, and away you go. But there's a lot of spinning and a lot of swinging of the arms. Where filming bro gets bumped, his arm gets bumped by one of the anonymous moshing bros, and he's not happy about it because this interferes with his 8 minutes straight of taping. So he puts, his arm kind of goes down, and now he's pissed, and he starts yelling. And as he's yelling, he's kind of got the camera being kind of held out now at about chest level. And I swear I could see it coming like in slow motion. Here comes another moshing bro, because, you know, the pit happens in circles. It's like a...
It's a living organism.
It is. It goes in a circular pattern.
Yeah, the pit is alive.
Yes. It's a living, breathing organism, and you have to be able to move with it, because if you stand still, you're going to get swallowed.
Yeah, it's not good.
So he's focused his ire on the mosh bro that hit him, and he has left his phone out front dangling. And as he does that, the second mosh bro comes mid-turn. So he's doing like the stoners.
He's spinning. And is now going to spin in front of camera, bro.
Yes.
Okay.
And as he spins, I swear to God, in one motion.
Like Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. As he spins, his arm comes around in a bushwhacker-like WWE moment. Snatches the guy's phone from his hand.
Mid-spin.
And then without missing a beat, as the rotation happens.
Finishes the spin.
He Randy Johnson's it across the Roseland as hard as he can. I just see the phone to fly over the crowd.
He's a mosh pit ninja.
And then the best part is he just keeps spinning and he vanishes back into the pit.
Like that, he's gone.
I could not pick him out of a lineup. I could not tell you what he looks like. There's no way that anyone could have seen what it happened so quick, and he looked like everyone else, and then he just vanished.
He's just gone.
The look on that guy's face, he was turned around, and he was just stunned.
What are you thinking? In that moment, your phone's gone. Like, you can't get it back. It's gone.
No.
And you don't know who took it.
It is just, it's vanished. And good luck getting across the Roseland. I mean, you are wall-to-wall packed with people. And this, so it goes, like, he turns around and, like, he's looking at everybody. And I'm laughing. I'm, like, right behind him. No one else really knows what to do. He looks around. There's a security guard kind of off. He starts yelling at the security guard. The security guard doesn't know what he's yelling about.
Yeah, the guard, for those who have never been to shows like this, there's usually one or two who stay near the pit.
Yes.
They'll help if someone gets pushed over or if something gets dropped. They bring the flashlight in. Like, hey, where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
No, good luck finding the phone, buddy. It's now at the other side.
Did the phone hit somebody in the head on the way across the Roseland?
I don't know.
No one knows, Mike.
But he rocket fired at the thing. And so the guy sat there for maybe 30 seconds and then he just left. Like, he disappeared back behind me. And I don't know if he went looking for his phone, but good luck getting across. But to that anonymous, and the great part was, is that it kind of led, the one guy got into it with the security guard a little bit, and security guard was kind of, was pushing him, and so it was a little bit of a kerfuffle. And Mike Ness, who's the lead singer, even addressed it after the song was over. He's like, hey, he's like, what's going on? He goes, like, no one's trying to prove anything here. We're all just trying to get out of here, like, in one piece. And everyone's laughing. And this dude is fuming. Like, his face is seething with anger.
His phone's gone.
And then he just left. I don't know where he went. Don't know if he left the show. Don't know if he's looking for his phone. I never got to thank that guy. I have no idea who he is. But in that moment, you are the best thing I've ever seen at a concert. I don't know if you intended to do it. I don't know if it was planned. I don't know if it was just like an instinct, but the swiftness and the skill that he used in that turn throw was magical.
I love that.
That's how good that was. Like I said, I don't know if he's a hero, because what's a hero?
Sometimes there's a man.
When we come back, wasps, middle children, sushi.
In that order.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Club 1080 here on The Fan.
And lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betterutoday.com.
Double Sun Power!
So I saw this today that the middle child, now neither one of us is a middle child. You are the eldest.
And you're the baby.
I'm the baby. So, Stacy.
Mysterious Sukanic sister who's been talked about on the program from time to time.
I know everyone is always like, hey, you talk about your brother and your sister. Hey, well,
she likes
up from time to time. She lays in the weeds.
She operates in the shadows.
Yeah.
She's like Batman.
She is like Batman.
Her influence is felt, but you don't always see her.
No, she's just kind of lurking there.
Yeah.
But Mike, who is a millennial, Mike is an only child.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
And this is...
They got it perfect with Mike. They didn't have to go back for any more.
Yeah, so they were saying that this is from New York Magazine. Mike is the new Mike, is the new norm. People are not having
the one kid,
3 to 4 kids anymore.
Huh?
People
it's expensive
are having
to have a lot of kids.
People are having 1 or 2, and that the middle child is disappearing, and that it may end up being a crisis because the middle child is the one that usually ends up being the peacemaker, the negotiator. They're empathetic. That a lot of qualities that the middle child has, and a lot of famous people are our middle children. And the article points out that there is some research suggesting that this sort of trend will end up being negative for society, because the skills that you learn as a middle child, being able to bring people together, are going to disappear. And that if we end up, look, we're more divisive than ever right now, right? And that if you're from a single child, if you're a single child, or if you just, you know, you know, two, that's the new norm. They said back in the 70s, the norm was closer to 4. Now the trend is 2 or less, that you tend to be more combative. You tend to be more entitled. A lot of things that kind of lead to conflict, whereas the middle children solve conflict. And that the Jan Brady, believe it or not, would have been maybe the most valuable of the Bradys.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we have a crisis because of the Mike Lynches of the world.
That's like some 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon science reasoning there. I would have never.
No.
Yeah, like, that was a lot of stretching from
right.
Less children to crisis management
well,
issues.
But no, right. But
think, it, I mean, it makes sense
it
though.
Makes like, about it. When you were growing up, when you're forming who you are as a child.
Yeah.
When Mike never had to deal with any sibling conflict.
Right.
There was never anything where you had to learn to resolve any problems in your home with your siblings.
Just why he's so difficult to deal with
exactly.
today.
Exactly. He's a giant pain in the ass.
Seriously.
But there
ridiculous.
Is something to that. You learn. Our dad is a single child.
Yeah, dad's a single kid.
And a lot of the ways that he is the way he is because of being a single child.
Yeah, but I don't get into a lot of conflicts because of that too, though. I am very, very even tempered. I don't get into fights with people. I don't want to argue with people. It's because I never did. It was never even a thing that happened at home.
Sure.
So in that sense, maybe it's a positive.
I think there's something to birth order. I totally believe that.
100%.
I believe that there are things being the oldest child and the youngest child in the middle. I think it's different if you're in a family with 8 kids, if you're in a family with 2. I totally get that. And so I wouldn't have necessarily thought to put that together.
Yeah.
That people having less kids, you know, that's interesting.
It could. And look, it's just one article.
Yeah.
But there are some people that have done some research into this, and they are saying that a lot of those qualities in middle children end up being better politicians, better... I'm not going to say necessarily successful business people, but a person in your business that you want, a boss.
Sure.
Not necessarily, because they always say that like single children or, you know, the baby end up kind of being the ones that are out to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that cutthroat kind of guy that ends up building a company. But you basically, they're saying like for a boss, you want a middle child for a boss. You want him to be understanding of both sides.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I hadn't thought about that either, but I'm 100% a believer in that. I look at just the differences in us. And some of that is you're hardwired, right? You're born with a bit of a different personality.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I think a ton of the difference in when you look at siblings is the role that you're asked to take on.
True. I get that. And nature versus nurture, right? And I agree. I think there's a lot to bowl. I think you're born with who you are. It's you, and you have a personality, and you have certain traits and things that you're good at. I totally buy that. But I also believe the environment you're raised in and nurturing and parents and where you grow up and that kind of thing. I totally get that. And that blew my mind a little bit. I would not have thought to connect all those dots. But like you said, it's one article, who knows, but that makes sense. I'd read that newsletter.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln, middle child. Britney Spears, middle child.
Ah, Britney.
Jan Brady, middle child. You're no Britney Spears.
Nope.
You're no Abraham Lincoln.
Nope.
We did discuss this earlier, that Britney Spears, if you haven't been paying attention, it's the best comeback to happen in a decade.
She's back.
She's back and is as hot as ever. It's phenomenal. She Barry Bonds it. She came on the scene and was an MVP and then fell off. And you know what? Just got back on the roids. And it's phenomenal.
Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah. She Kurt Warner'd it.
She did. Came out of nowhere.
Went to a Super Bowl.
Took the league by storm, and then we thought she was done.
Fell apart.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, she's got the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Resurrected back in Arizona. All right. We talked yesterday about the mummies being able to do us all in. Have you seen the wasp they have found in the Amazon?
No.
So,
let me say this. I'm literally terrified of anything found in the Amazon.
Yes. It's the scariest thing known to man.
I'm not a world traveler. I don't know that I would go to the Amazon.
No. Do you know that there's, of animals, it's like 60, I want to say it's in the high 60% of all species of animals live in the Amazon rainforest.
And 100% of those 60% will kill you.
Will kill you. So yes. They have discovered this now. It's a new wasp. And think about like the biggest wasp or hornet that you've seen. And this thing is enormous. And now realize that the stinger on this is larger than the wasp itself.
Is it like telescoping? Does it fold out?
It starts from kind of like the middle of its back, and it looks like a scorpion tail, and then hangs down a good solid inch to an inch and a half on this thing. And they're saying they discovered it just recently, and I'm see what they called this thing.
Terrifying is what they called it.
Yeah, I'm not even going to make the attempt here. It's a big scientific name, but it boasts a stinger that is both longer and wider than any that they've seen on wasps before. And get this, it also lays eggs through the stinger.
Yuck.
So this is what it does.
Yuck.
It goes and finds something, it stings it with its giant freaky stinger, it paralyzes it, and then while the stinger is in its prey, it shoots its eggs into the body of it. Ugh. And then when the eggs hatch, they eat the whatever it was from the inside out.
Yep.
And then go on to be other terrifying giant wasps.
Nature is terrifying.
Get it out, get it out, get it out.
What's worse than that?
One of the rare times for that drop to be used correctly.
Exactly.
What's worse than that in nature? Nature's terrifying.
Yes.
And that's the most terrifying part of it.
Insect, well, stings you, paralyzes you, lays its babies in you, and the babies eat you from the inside.
I'd rather have my face eaten off by anything than have it inject eggs into me and then eat their way out from the inside.
Yes.
I did read this today. It was in relation to our zombie article, or not article, talk from earlier in the show, and that there is a parasite, so it's not an insect, but it's a parasite that actually controls the brain of the thing it's inside.
Yeah, I've seen that.
There's what, so it's very specific to rats right now, where it's only made the parasite in cat stomachs. So when it gets into the rat's brain, it actually makes the rat go to where cats are so it can get killed and make more of it in the cat's stomach. So it actually controls the brain of the rat to do its bidding.
Hideous.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah. Look, eventually the animal kingdom is going to have enough of us and it's going to wipe us out. There's one of the scientists who found this said that he has studied tropical parasitical wasps for a long time, but he's never seen anything like it. This stinger looks like the fiercest weapon I've seen. Yeah. Don't mind me with this giant wasp. So you're cruising through the Amazon. It bites you in the back, and you're like, wow, that really hurts, and realize you've now got eggs growing in you.
Or even worse, you don't realize it. And then, like, a week later, you start to itch.
There's nothing worse.
No, that's terrifying.
It's like the whole alien thing. I would much rather just get eaten by the alien than have it shoot that face hugger down the middle of you.
Yep. And then it crawls out of your gut later.
Well, that's the thing, is like once that happens, dude, you just end it. Like if you get attacked by the alien face hugger and then you wake up, you know what's coming.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, you just eat a bullet at that point.
I'm going to eject myself into space. The cold darkness of space.
Hey, it worked in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, you can live out there. It's not so bad. All right, we come back, one more story. We'll talk about some sushi, and then we turn it over to recruiting with Andrew Nemec. Primetime here on The Fan. One more final segment here before we turn it over to recruiting with Andrew Nemec. He's going to have, as Rob would say, 247 Sports. Brandon Huffman, or you could say 24/7
Sports. 247 Sports.
247 Sports.
2.47.
Rob did not know that it was... It was 24/7 Sports. The first time he read it, he thought
went
it was
247 Sports.
Isaac Rop.
I'm not
sure. He's the best.
I'm not sure which is worse, that or the he didn't know Tesla was electric cars or who Tesla was.
Yeah, but we also didn't know what a tape measure was.
No.
So.
Well, I knew what it was. I just thought it was a tape measurer.
Right. So let's not excuse ourselves in this measure. Conversation.
Maverick's going to have him on. And then is it Jacob Bandes? I don't know. He's the nation's
Bandes.
Number. What?
Bandes.
He's the nation's number three defensive tackle, and he discusses his top eight live. So listen.
You run out of stuff to talk about. Just break down the teams in the National League you hate. It's gold.
Now, before we get to you building any kind of momentum, the Mariners have a chance to cut the Astros' lead to two.
Two. Yeah. And keep pace in front of the now terrifying Oakland A's.
Holy hell. But Mike pointed this out. I guess Twitter did a purge today. Twitter went through and deleted a bunch of fake accounts, bots, and like dormant accounts. So you can buy Twitter followers. We had a guy here that used to work on the station that did that.
Really?
Yeah, you pay like $100 and you can get like a couple thousand followers.
I was going to say, what's the going rate for Twitter followers?
I'm trying to remember. We had this conversation because he went from like no followers. He was a new guy on the station. And then like overnight, he had like, you know, like
17,000 followers.
I want to say he had like 10,000. And you looked at them all and they were, you know. None of them were real accounts.
Do you ever look at how many followers you have and wonder how many are fake? Because there's got to be, or
I'm
just
sure
a
there
random.
Are. Yeah. So I guess Twitter went through and cleaned house, and some of the people are hilarious. Now, some of them are like Obama and Trump and Katy Perry, you know, people that have millions upon millions. But just from like a kind of a news kind of thing in sports, Ray Lewis lost over half of his followers.
Really?
Yeah. Ray Lewis was buying followers.
Ray
Lewis went from 712,000 followers to 364,000 followers. Ray Lewis was buying. And then Britt McHenry, remember her?
Uh-huh.
She was the former like sideline reporter that got in trouble, was bitching and moaning about the lady, the tow truck driver.
Right.
And now she goes on, she's a political pundit and just spews ugly hate. Same sort of thing. 170,000 followers gone.
Yikes. That's crazy. Why would you? Well, I guess
it's an ego thing.
Yeah, I guess in the world of celebrities. I mean, and I've done it. Like you find somebody famous on Twitter and you look and they don't have very many followers and you're like, oh, that's all.
Yeah.
So I guess it's an ego thing among them. And I could see that.
Trump lost 400,000. Obama lost 2 million.
Ooh, wow.
I'm looking here. Some of the other ones, Perry, Katy Perry, I think might be the number one, on Twitter. She only lost 3 million. Wait, she had 110 followers and she's down to 107.
110 million followers for Katy
million
Perry.
Followers. She's like, wow. I think she's number one.
Wow.
Kardashian, she dropped 1.7 million followers. So, yeah, people are going through now and looking at all different celebrities and comparing and contrasting.
I went from 30 down to 7. So thank you very much, those 7 people that are hanging on. Dieter, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, Charles Robinson, who's a reporter, he wrote, whoa, boy, someone in our profession we all know was buying Twitter followers, lost a ton, and then kind of was laughing. And so people were trying to guess who it was, but there's a bunch of them. Like, you're talking about, you know, Britt McHenry, you're talking about Ray Lewis. So I'm guessing that more and more of this will kind of leak out.
Yeah.
But
it'll become a story.
It's kind of sad and pathetic.
Yeah.
That you would pay for Twitter followers that you know aren't real. So it's not like they can respond to you. The only reason to have it is so that you can say,
just a number,
I have more Twitter followers.
Yeah, it's just a number. But I mean, you're right, though. In a world of celebrity and ego.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Like, I guarantee you the Kardashians think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
However many Twitter followers they have.
Well, some of it is too, is a monetary thing. Like, the more Twitter followers you have, like the Kardashian stuff, they get paid just to tweet. Like, for every, if they tweet that they like a product or something, like, there's a value put to it.
Yeah.
So for some of those people, I doubt for like the Britt McHenrys of the world, but if you're Kim Kardashian and you have 60 million followers, that's a big deal from a financial standpoint. But I don't know, just the average person, like whoever, I don't want to name him, but whoever with at the station, he's not here anymore.
Isaac Ropp?
I was like, how pathetic do you have to be?
Yeah.
That you're so insecure about going on the air that you are going to spend your own money so that you can have a handful of people look at your Twitter account and be like, oh, This guy has 10,000 people that follow him.
I guess it's the same as anybody spending money on anything in that celebrity-driven society.
It's a full-on addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, like, if you talk to, like, kids, like, being popular anymore is not about, you know, being the most popular kid in school.
Likes.
It's about likes.
How many likes? I posted something, and how many likes you get.
Yeah.
So, speaking of like, we're almost out of time. I will just throw this, we didn't get to it today. But I feel it's worth mentioning here. You should go home and watch the Mariners tonight because they're a good baseball team. And they're playing the hated Angels. If you're not going to go home and watch the Mariners, you should go home and watch a little movie today that turns 30. Today's the 30th birthday of...
It debuted on this day?
On this day, 30 years ago. One of my, at any given moment, in my top 10 movies of all time. Little movie I like to call Die Hard. Some may say the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Some may just say the greatest movie of all time.
Right. Little Die Hard. So if you're not going to watch the Mariners tonight, go home and look it up. Watch Die Hard. 30th birthday today.
I once broke up with a girl. I guess we weren't really going out. I ended a potential relationship because she refused to see Die Hard with me in the movie theater.
I think that's the most sound reason I can think of for you to break up with anybody.
I was at Brigham Young University. I'd been trying to get this gal to go out with me for quite some time. We agreed to go out. We were having a lovely evening. And my roommate called me and was like, hey, midnight screening. They would show old movies on the big screen, which is great.
Yeah.
And they were showing Die Hard at midnight. Well, I know what we're doing tonight. And then she found out that Die Hard was rated R and said, we're not going to that. I said, well, we may not be, but I know what I'm doing.
But I am.
And so then she said, if you're going to see Die Hard, you can just drop me off. And I drove her to her apartment and I dropped her off. And she said, are you really leaving to go watch Die Hard? And I said, yes. Yes, I am.
It would have only been better if she asked that question. And as the window rolls up in your whatever you're driving.
That would be a 1989 Ford Thunderbird.
As the window rolls up, you know where I'm going.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And then the window closes and you don't get to finish it.
That's what you do. The yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, which is the edited version of quite possibly the greatest line in movie history. All right, day 4 of the Six Hazards in the books. We got one more on a Friday. Stick around. Andrew Nemec coming up, recruiting with Andrew Nemec right here on The Fan.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
I just like the balls.
Whoa.
It needs to have a nut in it.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
For one simple words.
Daddy's always happy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.